If you can, stand as we look at Exodus 19, 4 through 8. Exodus 19, 4 through 8. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my commandment, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment. And Lord, we pray that in this moment you bless it. We pray, Lord, for our hearts and our minds to be opened to what your Spirit wants us to hear. We pray in our opened hearts and minds that your Spirit work in us, form us, and transform us more into your image. It's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Be seated. There's a quote that I had at the first that I'll go back to. There's a quote from Walter Brueggemann that's kind of, I'm going to say it a couple times during the sermon, but it's kind of haunted me. It's been around. I read it in a book years ago. I reread it a few weeks ago, and then, I don't know if you look at Twitter, but on Twitter, I noticed it was posted two other times, and when I see that, you begin to think maybe I should pay notice to what's, being said. And the quote was this: the speech of God is first about an alternative future. I want you to think about that. The speech of God is first about an alternative future. I think that's where we'll be going today as we look at this section of text in Exodus 19. But before we get there, I was reading an article the other day about a school that teaches people foreign languages. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to learn a foreign language. I know the Stuarts are here for the first time, and I'm just thinking of them and them learning Spanish. But I don't know if you've ever tried to learn a foreign language, but it can be difficult. And in fact, many of us who might have started may have given up just because, well, it's hard. It's not easy unlearning your vocabulary and your grammar structures and then to learn somebody else's vocabulary and someone else's grammar structure. But that is what this school did. And so what this school did was very interesting. They had a unique way of teaching their students foreign languages. And as the article explained, it said this. It said, each person who came to the class got a new name. They got a new hometown. They got a new occupation. They basically got a new identity. Their first week of class was about learning this identity and getting on board with identity. And then as they learned their new name and their new hometown and all these things, after that first week, then they would move on to learning the language. Now, those who decided to stay with the project, and there were many who got very uncomfortable with this, and as you can imagine, stepped out. But those who decided to go ahead and follow through with the project, what they found is if they embraced this new identity in their class time, were able to pick up languages 5 to 10 times faster than ordinary people. Those who decided to go ahead with the project picked up foreign languages at any age 5 to 10 times faster. It's a fascinating article when I was reading it, because here's the thing, as this article is telling me, we have a tendency of believing the story that we tell ourselves about ourselves. What I mean by that is, you can imagine many in this class who would say, well, I'm just not good with new languages. I struggled in school with languages. I've struggled in language class, or even the story of, I'm just not good at new things. I mean, it's just not what I'm good at. And as we tell ourselves this, we begin to believe this because it is a story that we tell ourselves about ourselves. It is a box that we construct around ourselves. This is our identity. This is who we are. And here's the thing, if we keep telling ourselves this, then we end up living into it and becoming it. I want you to think about this. Because all of us in here today have written a story about who we are, have written a story about how we are, have written a story about what we can and what we can't do. We've written the story about if we believe that we're good enough, or if we believe that we're smart enough, or if we believe that we're lovable enough. And as we tell ourselves this, if we continue to tell ourselves, I'm just not good at learning new things, then we have a way of just believing, I'm not good at new things. No matter what we try to do to break out of it, if it's the story that we keep telling ourselves, if it's the story that we keep writing about ourselves, it is who we become. That's the thing about identity. It's kind of the story of who we are. Identity is that thing that forms us. It is the many different factors from around us that shape us. When I think about myself and how myself was formed over time and experience, I was shaped by my parents. I was shaped by my friends. I was shaped by the fact I grew up in West Texas. I was shaped by the fact I've grown up in America. I was shaped by how I experienced the world through all of these things. And as I take all of that stuff, my parents, my friends, my schooling, my hometown, take all of that into me, that is my identity. That is who I am. And I'm sure the same thing can be said about you. All the points in your life, all the pins you can place, all the moments, those things have shaped your life into who you are and into who you believe that you are. And when we read the text in Exodus, that's what we read is going on here. We see a people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember hearing that all the time in Genesis, right? You are the fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's as if they're trying to tell them, this is the identity. This is who you are. Not only that, I am the God of who? Your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we notice this all the time in Genesis, this kind of word being said into the children, into the people about who they are, who God is, what God is saying. Well, as we get to Exodus, we notice that the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not living into the story of Genesis, not living into the story of Abraham. You remember the story of Abraham, a covenant, God's binding to the people, God's binding to love always to the people. You remember Abraham, your ancestors will be like the stars. You will be a great people. You will be a great nation. All of this is being said. That is the identity over and over that we see being shaped and formed in Genesis. But when we get to Exodus, we notice a different story being told. For 400 years, the people have been in Egypt. I don't think I can say that enough for us to understand as we talked the last few weeks about kind of their attitudes. For 400 years, they have been living in Egypt. Their experiences, their identity now has not been written by God because they've forgotten about that. For 400 years, who's it been written by? It's been written by Pharaoh. It's been written by the nation of Egypt. Who they are has now been based on the social order of Egypt, Pharaoh's decrees in Egypt. If we think about it, 400 years is a long time for a story to be believed. 400 years is a long time for an identity to be shaped, and not only shaped, but codified generation after generation after generation. This is who we are. We're just a people of slavery. This is who we are. We're just a people who are oppressed by the Egyptians. This is who we are. We make bricks for them and we build this. This is what has been their identity for 400 years. And in order for an identity to be changed, it's going to take something powerful. It's going to take an alternative story that is able to reorient and even transform into believing another story, into believing something new. It's why that story of the foreign languages grabbed me so much, because what they're saying is, here's a different story to implant. And if you begin to believe this story, then let's see what you can do. You may not have been good at foreign languages, but I bet you can be if you just start believing in this story. And that's what we see here. We see here in this moment that it's going to take a story that has the power to overcome years and years of formation that has been taking place. It's going to take words that can break through the Egyptian story of 400 years. It's going to take an audacious imagination that can help people see that they were something more. They were built for something more. They were made for something more than what the people of Egypt have been telling them they are. That they are a people not created for exploitation or oppression. That they are more than whatever story the Egyptians had been telling them. And I think we need to hear this today, to hear that we are more than the story that we write about ourselves. That we are more than the story that others tell us that we are. That we are more than the story that our teachers and our professors way back in the day. And it's amazing how that can haunt you even to this day. You can remember what a teacher said about you. You can remember about what someone else's parents said about you and how that can be kind of who you are. There's going to have to be a story that can break through all of that. And as we've been looking at Exodus, what we realize is it's going to take being in the wilderness for just a little bit. It's going to take going off the map and heading into a future they didn't see just a few months earlier. It's going to take learning about themselves and relearning something new about themselves. It's going to take believing in themselves, believing in the story that was told to Abraham 500, 600, 700 years earlier. Therefore, it's going to take believing the storyteller. And that's the beauty when we read the text, is it not? When we read the text in Exodus 4, what do we see? We see from the outset in Exodus 19:4, it says this, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you into myself." If we're going to believe the new story, we've got to believe the storyteller. The only reason you go to a foreign language class that has success is because others tell you it has success. It's because you've seen the success of the class. That's why you get involved in it. That's why you believe it could maybe do something different than anything else has. And God, in the opening in Exodus 19, says, "You've seen what I've done to Egypt." Not only that, you've seen how I've carried you. And I love this image. It's the image of a mother. You've seen how I've carried you from one place to another. And here's the thing. It's as if God is trying to say, when you go into the wilderness, you're not going alone. And though the wilderness may feel like a place of despair, and we've been hearing the cries of the people over the last few chapters, and we can understand their cries, 400 years, or for me, 42 years of believing a story is tough to overcome. A new identity is tough to form in ourselves. A new story is tough to believe in ourselves. But the wilderness, going off the map, even moving into a new normal that we're in now, is a place for us to be formed. It's a place for us to find out about ourselves. It's a place to learn the things that we need to unlearn about ourselves. Therefore, the wilderness, this time that we fill ourselves in, can be, should be, must be a place of preparation, a place of transformation, which prepares us for the identity that we need into the new future. So the good news of the wilderness is, while it feels bad, it is a place of transformation. To see this in the moment, to see this journey as a place in which God wants to encounter us, in which God wants to remind us of who we are so that we can accept that God is believable. The wilderness, though it is an uneasy time, can be a time of reformation, a time for a new story to be planted inside of you, a time for a new story, a new identity to begin to be worked inside of you. Because over the last, I don't know, for me, 42 years, and even for me, over the last 4 or 5 months, there are things I have been learning about myself that I didn't want to learn about myself. And I've said this numerous times. For the last 4 months of this whatever we're in, I found myself alone. And I found myself in those moments learning things about myself that I didn't really know. And maybe you've done the same thing. But I've learned about why I act the certain way I act towards certain situations. I've learned that I knew I was quick-tempered, but you don't really realize you're quick-tempered until you actually are like confined in the home with your kids and with your spouse, which is a wonderful and great time, don't get me wrong, but still can be a very difficult time. And I realize that all those things are actually true about myself. What I realized was that God was showing me in the moment, in this kind of wilderness time that we're in this awkward time, is God was showing me something, maybe even a story I told about myself that I need to let go of, that I need to unlearn. What the people of Israel are now learning is this. They thought they were just getting out of Egypt. But as Walter Brueggemann says, and I love this, he says, what they're really figuring out is this. The participants in Exodus found themselves undoubtedly, surprisingly, involved in the intentional formation of a new social community to match God's vision of God's freedom. They were going into the wilderness, still the people of Exodus 1. The people of Exodus 1, in which Pharaoh said, they're going to start being our laborers, in which Pharaoh said, we can't let them multiply. Basically, what Pharaoh's saying is, they're like bugs and we need to get rid of them. They almost got to this point of dehumanization. That's the people of Exodus 1. That's what they thought. What they're going to do is, when they come out of the wilderness, they're going to be something completely different. And it's amazing what verses 5 and 6 tell us. So it says, you're going to go into the wilderness still thinking you're other than, you're less than, but you're going to come out of the wilderness being this. And he says it in 5 and 6. And notice what he says. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my commandment, then out of all nations, what does it say? You will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Get this, you're going to go from a story of being not good enough, being used, being transacted, being not loved. You're going to go from that story to a story of being my treasured possession, my priestly kingdom, and my holy nation. These are words, these are a story which expresses a future that the people of Israel had no idea when they were going into the wilderness that this is what they would come out being. It tells the people that something new is about to happen to them. God speaks to them in their innermost part of their being. It is a word that reminds them of who they are, even though they've forgotten who they are. The wilderness is the place of transformation. This little holding time that we find ourselves in, that we seem to be talking about all the time. When I'm standing out there, I talk with people about, when is this going to be over? I don't know when it's going to be over. But what I do believe is that in this moment can be a moment of transformation for all of us. It can be a reminder to us of how much we are loved by God, of how much God binds God's self to us and has not abandoned us in this moment. Because it's easy to forget about that in this moment as we begin to think about ourselves. It's easy for me to have forgotten about it 42 years later, being baptized only 20 years ago. No, more than that. Good grief. 25 years ago. Richard, I'm getting old. I'm not going to lie. 25 years just caught me off guard there for a minute, so hold on. All right, so back to normal. But 25 years ago, it's easy for me in those 25 years to have forgotten what God had been speaking to me. Why? Because life happens. And we get into a certain story that the world tries to inundate into us and tell us who we are. We may need this moment to unlearn a little bit about ourselves, to unlearn a little bit about who we are, and maybe we need this moment so that God can speak into us individually and into us as a community about who we need to be. And so as we go deeper and more into this moment, as we feel like we're still in the wilderness, I think we need to be reminded today that Exodus 19, 4 through 8 is not just Israel's identity, it's our identity as well. This is my story. This is your story. This is the story of the church. How do I know that? Because I don't have it up here, but read 1 Peter 2:9, and it will tell you. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a chosen people. This is the story that God is trying to get us to believe and to live into since Exodus 19, and I think we need to hear it right now. You may have gone into this moment thinking this is who you are back in March, But hopefully, you're going to go out of this moment realizing who you are through the word of Jesus. That's what we see. I think we need to hear this right now. I think we need to be reminded of this today, that as we move into this new territory, as we move into this new normal can be good news. This new normal can be a good thing. Why? Because we can go into it being the person who God has been wanting us to be, who God has been striving for us to be, who God from the beginning of time has told us that we are. And so if we've lost sight of it, take these moments that you have now to listen to the words of God, to remember that you're not going in this alone, but that the God who pulled out of Egypt is the God who's getting you through the wilderness, is the God who's going to bring you on the other side. So where do we go from here? It's going to start with you reorienting your story. It's going to start with you bringing your story back into the story of God. To believe that God is the one who formed us and shaped us. To believe that God is the one who has written our story. God has planted a story inside of you, and you know it. You may have forgotten it, but it's there. Sometimes it can be hard to believe. Sometimes it can be hard to live into. It's hard to break free of what everything everybody else has said about you, what you have said about yourself. But as we go into this new normal, as we walk into this wilderness, can you commit in this time to letting God's story work in you, to become your identity, to believe what God says about you more than what somebody else says about you? Can you do what we read in Exodus 19, verse 8? When the people heard Moses say, this is what God wants from you. He wants you to be the treasured possession. He wants you to be the holy nation. He wants you to be a royal priesthood. And the people say this, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. And it takes me back to that quote. The speech of God is first about an alternative future. As we talk about a new normal coming in, as we talk about being in this place of wilderness, are you allowing the speech of God, the story God has spoken into you, has planted into you with the Holy Spirit, the voice that is in you now, are you letting it tell you about the future God has for you? And you may look a little different from when you enter to when you get out. But that's the beauty of God's word, is it has the power to speak a new future. That's what I hope for as we go through this, that when we get to the new normal, it's the new normal that God wants for you, for me, and for this community. We just have to listen and commit to say everything God says. Get that. It's an open-ended commitment, because they're going to say it a few chapters later, that whenever God speaks, we will listen and we will become. That's God speaking a new story into your life. Are you willing to break whatever identity you have, whatever things you've been saying about yourself, and believe the one who says you are loved, you are cherished, you are a holy nation, you are a royal priesthood, you are good? I think we need to hear that today.